This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. Consolidated bipartisan legislation offers the best hope of fixing a regulatory nightmare created by a 2009 court ruling. That ruling overturned a key exemption for pesticide use under the Clean Water Act, according to the American Farm Bureau Federation. AFBF President Bob Stallman said he appreciates the recognition by lawmakers that a congressional solution is needed. The latest effort is a bill introduced on September 30th by House Agriculture Committee Chairman Colin Peterson of Minnesota. The Peterson bill amends the Federal Insecticide, Fungicide, and Rodenticide Act and the Clean Water Act to prohibit additional permits for pesticides when applied consistent with FIFRA. Similar bills have also been introduced by Representative Frank Lucas of Oklahoma, ranking member of the House Agriculture Committee, and in the Senate by Senators Blanche Lincoln of Arkansas and Saxby Chambliss of Georgia. Stallman said Farm Bureau is calling for the three legislative efforts to join forces. Retail food prices at the supermarket dipped slightly during the third quarter of 2010, according to the latest AFBF Market Basket Survey. The informal survey shows the total cost of 16 food items that could be used to prepare one or more meals was down $46.17, down $1.03 or 2% compared to the second quarter of 2010. The total average price for the 16 items was down 12 cents compared to 1 year ago. Of the 16 items surveyed, 10 decreased and 6 increased in average price compared to the prior quarter. Sliced deli ham, sirloin tip roast, flour, bread, and eggs declined the most in dollar value compared to the second quarter. Sliced deli ham decreased 58 cents to $4.66 per pound. Sirloin tip roast decreased 24 cents to $3.86 per pound. Flour dropped 20 cents to $2.15 for a 5-pound bag. Bread dropped 15 cents to $1.61 for a 20-ounce loaf, and eggs dropped 12 cents to $1.41 per dozen. The most pressing issue impacting farmers and ranchers in the lame duck session of Congress is estate tax relief, according to Patricia Wolf, AFBF tax specialist. Wolf says every member of Congress knows that if they don't act before the first of the year, there's going to be a huge, huge tax increase on Americans. The question is, who is deserving them continued low rates? Who is deserving of estate tax relief? That's what the debate is about, and that's what members of Congress will be hearing when they're home campaigning. This year, there is no estate tax, but when the Bush tax cuts expire on January 1st, the rate will jump to 55% for those with estates worth more than $1 million. AFBF backs a bill by Senators Blanche Lincoln of Arkansas and John Kyle of Arizona with a $5 million exemption and a 35% tax rate. The Agriculture Department will distribute approximately $1.6 billion in annual Conservation Reserve Program rental payments and $3.8 billion in final 2010 direct payments to America's farmers and ranchers in October, according to Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack. Producers holding 744,000 CRP contracts on 416,000 acres will receive an average of $52.56 per acre in CRP rental payments. Producers earn an average of $3,955 per farm enrolled in CRP. Included in the totals are 402,000 contracts, or 4.6 million acres, for continuous CRP enrollments and 342,000 contracts, or 26.7 million acres, enrolled under general CRP signups. New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg has asked USDA to bar the Big Apple's 1.7 million food stamp recipients from using them to buy soda or other sugared drinks. The request is part of Bloomberg's aggressive anti-obesity push, which includes advertisements, stricter rules on food sold in schools, and a failed attempt to have the New York State impose a tax on sugared drinks. Public health officials reacted with caution to the mayor's proposal. George Hacker, senior policy advisor for the health department for the health promotion project of the Center for Science in the Public Interest, favors an educational campaign to discourage food stamp recipients from using a federal program to buy sugar drinks. A study in the current issue of the journal Invasive Plant Science and Management examined the hybridization and spread of Japanese knotweed and giant knotweed in the United States. Previous studies have focused on this occurrence in the plant's native Asia and in Europe, but not in North America. Using flow cytometry, researchers investigated DNA content of established plant families in a common garden, seedlings grown from common garden parents and wild populations. The authors report that not only did the two varieties of knotweed crossbreed in a controlled garden setting, but the hybrids were identified in field populations in Massachusetts as well. Nearly all the created hybrids showed strong growth, seed set, and the production of viable pollen. Significant introgression where a hybrid crosses once again with one of its parents is also suggested by the study results. As introgression progresses, a more diverse swarm of invasive plants is created. Once populations are established, options for eradication become more limited. New research from the Center for Food Integrity shows most consumers are twice as likely to believe the Humane Society of the United States and People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals over farm organizations when it comes to humane treatment of farm animals. The research was released Wednesday at the CFI's Food Summit held in Chicago. The web-based survey was completed by 2,002 respondents selected to reflect the overall composition of the population. After HSUS and PETA, farm animal veterinarians, the agriculture department, and university experts ranked next, followed by state and national farm organizations and small livestock farmers. Large-scale livestock farmers ranked last in animal welfare credibility. Charlie Arnault, CFI's CEO, says the research indicates consumers feel information from a non-governmental organization is significantly more credible than a group that profits from the meat industry. He adds, the closer you are to the money, the less credible your information. Arnault said the results make it increasingly important for food system organizations to partner with credible groups and connect with consumers using shared values. He says demonstrating we share an ethical obligation to ensure animals are well cared for is more important than ever before. The research also reveals that consumers favor more laws to ensure the humane treatment of farm animals in their states, which explains why voters looked favorably on HSUS-driven ballot drives in California, Michigan, and Ohio to reform livestock housing rules. Very few sections of the Internal Revenue Code are written specifically for timber. This means there is a considerable amount of interpretation involved. USDA's Forest Service has established a website, www.timbertax.org. Timberland owners, as well as accountants, attorneys, consulting foresters, and other professionals who work with timberland owners may find the site useful for information on the tax treatment of timber-related activities. National Dine Out for Farms Week, sponsored by American Farmland Trust, begins Sunday and runs through October 16th. Restaurants in 17 states signed up to participate in this inaugural event because the chefs recognize the need to protect America's farmland and support family farmers. Farmland is a key ingredient that farmers need to be able to grow provisions for restaurateurs and our own kitchen tables, according to John Scholl, AFT's president. Participating restaurants across the country will raise funds for AFT's programs that support farms. Local participating restaurants at the Dine Out for Farms website. Locate participating restaurants at the Dine Out for Farms website at www.farmland.org/dineout. And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, I am Mark Duggar. Have a great day, and God bless America.